Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast Show. I am, and I always will be, Justin Rogers. And I just wanted to start this podcast off by talking about the Golden State Warriors and a little bit about the San Jose Sharks as well, who I know I don't really talk about that much, but I just wanted to... I figured I should mention them a little bit. I wanted to, both because I like the Sharks. They're my favorite hockey team. Hockey's like my fourth favorite sport. First is baseball, then basketball and football are a toss-up, and then there's hockey. So it's a little bit at the bottom of the chain, but I still enjoy watching it, and I enjoy watching the Sharks in particular. So, anyways, I just wanted to talk about the Warriors and the Sharks in particular in this podcast, just because they are both coming off of back-to-back games on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. The Warriors went up against the LA Lakers, and they beat them 109-85, and then on Saturday, they beat the Timberwolves 115-102 back at Oracle Arena. So they're coming off of back-to-back wins, and I kind of wanted to talk about those games in particular, and then I'll end with the Sharks and their series of back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday as well. So even though the score indicated that the Warriors blew out the Lakers again, it was not as good of a game as it seemed. It was actually kind of sloppy overall, not going to lie. But anyways, I just wanted to lead in by talking about that game. Draymond Green in the game, he had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, contributed quite a bit, but unfortunately had to leave the game early because he twisted his ankle. It was actually a really scary scene. When that happened, it was Draymond Green came down and rolled his ankle, but he landed on Ian Clark, Warriors reserve guard. He landed on his throat, so scary moment for the two of them. They both left the game and didn't return and are questionable for their next game against the Hawks. They both ended up missing the game against the Timberwolves as well. So we'll see if they're back in the lineup on Monday, I believe. Yeah, on Monday against the Hawks. Scary, scary sequence of events. You never want to see, for one of your star players go down, and then two, you don't want to see one of your reserve players who are actually really coming into their own this year go down as well, especially a throat injury. That's pretty scary. I can't imagine like a 250-pound guy just like landing right on my throat. It was just painful thinking about it, but anyways... So, scary moment there. Also in the game, Klay Thompson had 18 points on 7-17 shooting, so decent night for him shooting. He had 7 rebounds, which is impressive for Klay. At least I think it's impressive. Because I want to say he averages around like 3 per game this year. So, solid defensive game from him. I mean, Klay's a lockdown defender. Anyway, so if he's able to crash the boards and be productive on the glass, that's a win-win for the Warriors. So overall, okay game, solid game for him. Curry, he had 24 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. So good game on his behalf as well. I don't have the shooting stats for him. I didn't write it down, but I don't think he had the best shooting night. I think he just did okay. And then Kevin Durant had... What did he have? Kevin Durant had 29 points. He had 6 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 blocks, and he was 11-for-19 shooting. Kevin Durant, like always, it's a pretty typical Kevin Durant game right there. And then some other stats that I was impressed with was when Kevin Durant was on the court, he was a plus 35, and then Klay Thompson was a plus 34, a.k.a. when they're on the court, the Warriors scored 35 more points when Kevin Durant was on the floor, and 34 more points than the Lakers when Klay Thompson was on the court. I don't really know what to take away from this game because it seemed like the Lakers were without half their team, especially the players who contribute more, like Julius Randle, Nick Young, aka Swaggy P. I just had to throw that in there. I can't do that nickname. That nickname's just way too ridiculous. It sounds like the kind of nickname that like someone gives themselves because they think it sounds cool, but it's really not cool at all. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gave himself that nickname. Not even the slightest bit. I actually want to look into that. I'll probably look into that someday. I don't know. But anyways, they were without him, and they were without D'Angelo Russell as well. So their starting point guard. And then I wonder how things have been between Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell because of that whole incident that went on with them last year. I actually haven't really read anything else about it. I don't know if that's just me just like not really caring all that much because it's just kind of like whatever and I don't like the Lakers, but or if people just really haven't reported on it in general, which I find that hard to believe because like all the entertainment magazines were reporting on it because Nick Young was dating Iggy Azalea and all that fun stuff, so they were all reporting on that issue. But yeah, anyways, kind of getting off topic, and this is just stuff that was coming to my head. Where was I? Okay, Jordan Clarkson, one of the young guards for the Lakers, he stepped in for D'Angelo Russell, and he played pretty well. He had 20 points, and then Lou Williams off the bench, he played pretty well. He had 13 points for the game. He's also a backup guard. And then Brandon Ingram, he had 9 rebounds, and Thomas Robinson led all players in rebounds with 10 in that game off the bench. I think he led everyone off the game in the game with the rebounds. I'm pretty sure he did. But one thing that about Brandon Ingram, even though I mentioned him, he did pretty good defensively and getting those 9 boards, but shot an abysmal 3-for-18 shooting. That's less than 20%. I think that's like 17%, something ridiculous like that. It was pretty bad. It's just a testament to show how sloppy overall that game was. And yeah, shout out to the Warriors defense. I mean, the Lakers were without half their team, but they still played pretty well. Nice them defensively. It's just the Warriors were a little sloppy offensively and probably should have won by more. But, I mean, hey, what can you do? It happens. If there was such thing as like a Thanksgiving turkey hangover, this game embodied that perfectly. Yeah, even Steve Kerr called it an awful game. He said it was one of the worst games he's seen. And then they interviewed Draymond about it after. He's like, well, it wasn't a good game, but I don't know if it was one of the worst. We won. So that might be kind of an exaggeration. But still, I thought that was pretty funny. And I don't, just goes to show how unhappy Kerr was with their effort there and just the expectations of the Warriors. And yeah, it was... It was just it's a sloppy game overall. But hey, next day they're back in action. They had 24 hours to clean up their mess and put together a nice, crisp, clean game. And they did. They played the Timberwolves, and it was a pretty hard-fought game. They beat them 115 to 102. Stephen Curry had 34 points for the game to lead the Warriors in scoring, and he shot 13 of 19 from the court, 4 of 8 from 3, and he also added 8 rebounds and 6 assists to go along with that. So a solid game overall from Steph Curry. And then Kevin Durant, no shock here. He had 28 points on 10 of 17 shooting, 3 for 4 from threes, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 blocks, and that was his fifth 20-point, 10-rebound game of the season this far, and they're trying to think of what the Warriors' record is now. 15-2, so through 17 games, 10 of those, or 5 of those have been 2010 games, so impressive, very impressive on Kevin Durant's behalf, and he's just, the Warriors as a whole are just gelling right now. They're on an 11-game win streak as we speak, and show no signs of slowing down. Even in this game where Draymond Green didn't start, Kevon Looney, who came out of UCLA last year, missed the majority of the year for injuries and not, and he obviously wasn't needed really last year, and that really allowed him to develop and really get healthy. So that was really huge that the Warriors didn't have to use him at all really last year, and just gave him time to get right and come back 100% this season. And so he made his first career start in place of Draymond Green, and he had a pretty solid game. He only played 18 minutes, but he had 6 points and 3 rebounds in his first career start. Again, they don't really need him to do much right now, but I like when he's in there. I like when he's playing. I really think Kevon Looney has a chance to be a pretty solid player for the Warriors in years to come. He's still young and has time to develop. I don't know how big of a star he'll become, but I think he'll be a solid contributor. I don't know if that means he'll end up becoming a starter one day or just being a role player for the rest of his career, but it's been solid so far this year, and I'm just going to keep looking to him to develop and just kind of anxious to see what he becomes. In other news for the Warriors, Klay Thompson had a pretty solid game as well. He had 23 points and 6 rebounds, 9 of 17 shooting, and 4 of 9 from threes. Again, another solid rebounding game from Klay Thompson, who, like I said earlier in the podcast, he's not really known for his rebounding or assists, but that doesn't really indicate that it doesn't show how great of a player he is other than scoring. He's a phenomenal defender, and obviously on the offensive end, he's as big of a threat as there is on the Warriors. And especially, I know I keep going back to the defensive end, but he's a phenomenal perimeter defender, one of the best defenders the Warriors have. And then his rebounding these last couple of days have been huge for the Warriors. The Warriors can use all the rebounding they can get, and slowly but surely they're becoming one of the better rebounding teams so far in this season. Of course, they're not going to be the best. They don't have the length and athleticism. Well, they do have the athleticism, but they don't have the length and toughness that some of these other teams are known for. But yeah, solid game for both of them, even though Draymond Green didn't play the heartbeat of the Warriors, and then Ian Clark, who had a pretty good game the other night against the Lakers, had one of the best games of his career, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, I mean. What else did I want to say about this game? I think Zach LaVine had a pretty good game, if I'm not mistaken. He had over 30 points, and then Karl-Anthony Towns, a player I really enjoy watching, one of the better young players in the NBA. I think he had like 18 points, somewhere around there. He had a big first quarter, and then after that, it was just kind of like the Warriors figured him out and found a way to defend him pretty nicely. So overall, that was good. The Warriors, 11 straight wins, play the Hawks next on Monday, back on Warriors ground. And then, like I said earlier in the podcast, the Sharks also had a string of back-to-back games. They didn't win both like the Warriors did, but they won one and lost one. On Friday night, day after Thanksgiving, they beat the Islanders 3-2, and then the next night, the score was 3-2 again, but this time the Sharks were on the losing end to the Anaheim Ducks. And after those two games, they're now 12-9-1 on the season. They're second in the Pacific Division, 1 point behind the Edmonton Oilers, who are 12-9-2. So they're playing all right, I want to say, this year. Again, I haven't watched the Sharks as much as I would like to, in part because I'm super busy this semester with all my classes and my internship with the athletic department and working. I just have very little time to watch as much sports as I possibly can. So in part due to that, and then also I'm more interested in basketball, and the Warriors play a lot of the same nights as the Sharks do, and I like the Warriors more than the Sharks. I like basketball more than the hockey, so obviously I'm going to watch the Warriors when that happens. But I like to watch the Sharks whenever I get a chance. I'm hoping to a little more once the semester ends and I have a little more free time, since this is my final semester. I only have a few weeks left. I'll have quite a bit of time on my hands after this semester. Anyways, getting off topic again. So they're only one point behind the Edmonton Oilers, who are 12-9-2. And overall in points, Edmonton's 26 points, and Sharks have 25. And in addition to that, they're fifth overall in their conference. The Blackhawks are in first. They're 14-6-3. So pretty sure, yeah, that's 31 points for them on the year. Sharks aren't that far behind, still early in the year. But I'm waiting for them to put together a run kind of like the year they had last year when they made it to the Stanley Cup and unfortunately lost. But we'll see. Still young in the season, still plenty of time to go on a run. In the game against the Islanders, Joe Pavelski had a goal, his 7th of the year. Brent Burns had a goal, his 8th of the year. And then Patrick Marleau had his 6th goal of the year. And the thing with Marleau's was, came into the third period with only 23 seconds left in the game. So, huge clutch goal for Marleau there to give the Sharks the lead and ultimately win them the game. I mean, that's pretty much the closest equivalent you can have in hockey to like a walk-off home run or like a buzzer-beating shot. That'd be kind of sick to see a buzzer-beating goal in hockey. That's something that doesn't happen often at all. Not that I know of, at least. I haven't really seen much of it. For the Islanders, Anders Lee had his 4th goal of the year, and then Nick Leddy also had his 4th goal of the year. But those two goals were not enough to overtake the Sharks. And then the next night, in the night they lost to the Ducks, Logan Couture had his 7th goal of the year, and then Dylan DeMello, a defenseman, who was, I think he was taking over for Tierney, I believe. I think he was hurt, so DeMello was inserted into the lineup. Anyways, he had his 1st goal of the year, and he's a defenseman, so that's pretty impressive. Not too many defensemen are known for goal scoring, unless you're Brent Burns. But, yeah, even though the Sharks aren't playing phenomenal or particularly great so far in this season, they're pretty close to only .500. Joe Pavelski and Brent Burns both have 20 points on the season for the Sharks so far. Both their best players, 20 points, that obviously lead the team. And Brent Burns has obviously been playing pretty damn well this year, as the Sharks just signed him just a few days ago, I want to say, to an 8-year extension worth $64 million. And for one of the premier defensemen, only getting $64 million, it just kind of goes to show how the money is allocated in sports. Like, you have some of the best players in baseball, they're making 25-something million a year, some ridiculous number. And then even with football, quarterbacks are making around like 20-something million. And then in basketball, you have players making 20 million as well. for the best of the best. So hockey, obviously, the money is not there like it is in the other sports. But this is a huge deal, especially because Brent Burns is, I want to say he's almost 30, or maybe he is 30. He's either in his low 30s or he's almost 30. Then again, I notice in hockey, I see a lot of older players than in some of the other sports. It seems like hockey players can play forever. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but that's kind of what I notice. Who knows if Brent Burns will even make it the full 8 years? I don't know. But hats off to him. He's been huge in a Sharks uniform. He's been phenomenal, and I love watching Brent Burns play. Even with that mangy looking beard he has going on. Then again, I think the beard is a classic, and it looked really weird seeing him without one. I don't even remember him without a beard. That's how used I am to seeing him with it. Anyways, enough about that. The last player I really want to talk about for the Sharks is Martin Jones, their goalkeeper. He's playing pretty well this year. He's only given up 2.15 goals against per game so far this year. In comparison to last year, he gave up 2.27 goals per game. Who knows if that'll even improve more, or if it'll be a little more inflated towards the end of the year. But, I mean, he's putting up pretty similar numbers to last year. Again, I haven't really watched enough hockey to really figure out where the Sharks have gone wrong. I want to say probably they just aren't scoring enough goals, which is the obvious answer. I mean, duh, if you don't score more goals, you're not going to win. But I'm just saying in comparison to last year is what I'm really getting at. They're not scoring maybe as frequently as they did last year. That's something I actually want to look up, and I probably will pretty soon. But in the meantime, that's it for this podcast. Thank you to whoever listens to this whenever it is posted on the website. I'm still going through trying to get the website set up all the way, but this will be posted eventually. And in the meantime, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week whenever you're listening to this, and I will see you next time. Probably going to talk about the Warriors and after their next game, probably talk a little bit about the Niners and the NFL season, and then, of course, I'll probably try and do one within the next week or so about the MLB and the offseason so far. In the meantime, just stay tuned. Thank you.